Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. A tweet from someone named Eli Hollywood that I liked said, "I simply don't believe that Louis C.K. won a Grammy. I've known him for years. He's never won a Grammy around me." Well done there. On Late Night, they were talking about Sarah Palin, who's going to run for Congress. Former President Trump released a statement saying Sarah Palin is tough and smart and will never back down. Jimmy Kimmel said, "Even for Trump, it's pretty impressive to fit three lies into an 11-word sentence." I guess the Masked Singer money dried up and Sarah's running for office. Trump endorsing Palin is like paste eating endorsing glue sniffing. It's ridiculous. Jimmy Fallon, "I saw that Sarah Palin announced she's running for Congress, which is good news for Republicans and great news for Democrats." That's awesome. Fallon, "You know, for someone who could see Russia from her house, she should have known years ago what Putin was up to, don't you think?" Before we dive in, I'm feeling angsty today. The news lately, since the slap and then the CK stuff, it's just been angsty. And I sat down to write the podcast and I'm like, ooh, look, some new comedy festival news. Maybe we could talk about happy things. And then I started doing the prep and there's a TI fight and Chris Rock stuff. And Jen Kirkman has blocked me. That stunned me. I don't really care. I can do this podcast for five more decades without ever mentioning her again. But I'm like, why did you block me? Was it the 10 minutes I spent yesterday taking your side? I don't get it. So whatever, man. You don't want to be on the show? You're not on the show. Let's start with fun things. As my dogs bark at the Amazon guy upstairs. Couldn't get to this yesterday. The Hollywood Reporter dove in on how Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel pulled off that epic April Fool's switch. Fallon said, "Our producers were talking to each other every day for the past month. About 4 years ago, the two Jimmys were having dinner in Brooklyn, and Kimmel said to Fallon, 'What if we switched hosts for a night?' There's all sorts of logistical hurdles, which included swapping cities, staffs, and networks. Per the Hollywood Reporter, both hosts arrived at the other Jimmy's studio late last week with a small team. In each case, an assistant, a couple of writer-producers, and a few others. On-air Jimmy Kimmel partook in popular Fallon bits like thank you notes and interviewed stars Hugh Jackman and Bridget Everett. Meanwhile, Jimmy Fallon introduced Sweet Tweets, which is a twist on Kimmel's Mean Tweets, and welcomed Justin Timberlake, who pretended to be Matt Damon. Behind the scenes, Fallon sent the Kimmel staff an ice cream truck. Kimmel sent the Tonight Show people cookies from, quote, the other Jimmy. The two Jimmys fielded some questions from the Hollywood Reporter. What was important to each of you? Kimmel, mostly we wanted to make sure it was kept a secret. Fallon, I'm not really a prank guy, so I didn't know if we could pull this off. Like 2 seconds before they announced me, I was nervous. I was like, I hope they like me. Biggest differences in doing the other show. Kimmel, it's rare they even talk to the people who do the same job you do. We wanted to be respectful of how Fallon produces his show and make sure we were collaborating on everything. Fallon said it was a bit surreal. It's the same job, but also completely different. Everyone there made me feel so welcome. They have a very professional, very funny staff. It's beautiful theater. It's like a TV show in a theater, whereas ours is pure TV studio. It felt great to be that close to the audience. Fallon said booking was hard because we normally are booked 6 months in advance, but it had to kind of be last minute so word didn't get out. Kimmel said the biggest surprise is how fast it goes. Fallon, we double taped our show Wednesday, then I got on a plane and landed around 1 a.m. 7 hours later, Jimmy and Molly were waiting in the parking lot to greet me. We got into hair and makeup and started filming. After that, they flew immediately to New York. Kimmel said, we prepared more for this show than most. What was most important was looking out for the other, sharing the little tricks you pick up over the years. Fallon, really the only people who knew were me and Jimmy and Matt Damon. I was surprised how the networks didn't really fight us on it. Seems like something we shouldn't be able to get away with. Did you guys leave anything for each other? Fallon, I left a card in my office. Kimmel, I left my youngest son. What a great stunt. And yeah, it is amazing that such a thing could even happen. Kudos to the executives for getting it, not being like, whoa, that's so good. All right, let's stay on the happy side here before the angst comes in. If you're a regular listener, you know I love Late Night with David Letterman. I did 4 episodes in January about the 40th anniversary of Late Night with David Letterman. Well, they are auctioning off 6 Late Night with David Letterman bumpers. The laugh button says from 1982 to 1993, Mark Carzen shot all the bumpers for Late Night that brought the audience into and out of commercials. 6 now are being auctioned off. The winner of the auction will get the original bumper, a digital copy signed by Carzen, and the new 40th anniversary book, Late Night Bumpers, which features a foreword from Letterman. The auction kicks off May 15th. Believe me, I'm tempted, but I don't know. What would I do with it? Like, is it a poster? I guess it's a poster. What would I do with it? Let's stay on the happy side of things, huh? Yeah. Netflix has added some more names to the Netflix Is a Joke Comedy Festival. Not that this thing wasn't huge already. They have announced John Mulaney, you've heard of him, Bill Burr, you've heard of him, and famous comedian Snoop Dogg will all be performing at Netflix Is a Joke The Festival. Mulaney at the Forum May 3rd, Hollywood Bowl May 7th. Snoop Dogg will host, and I'm not sure what this is called because it says Snoop Dogg's F*CN around comedy special. I assume that means effing around, but why the C? Wouldn't you put a K there? I digress. Snoop Dogg's Something Around Comedy special, that's at the Hollywood Palladium, and will feature Cat Williams, Mike Epps, some more, and others. Bill Burr, two shows, Bill Burr and Friends at the Hollywood Palladium, both on May 4th. Oh, there's more. Standout, an LGBTQ plus celebration. Billy Eichner will host an all-star night of entertainment with Bob the Drag Queen, Eddie Izzard, Fortune Feimster, Genia Shear, Guy Branum, James Adonium, Joel Kim Booster, Judy Gold, Mae Martin, Margaret Cho, Marsha Warfield, Mateo Lane, Patty Harrison, River Butcher, Sam Jay, Sandra Bernhard, Scott Thompson, Salomon Giorgio, Tig Notaro, Todd Glass, Trixie Mattel, Wanda Sykes, and more to be announced. Wow, that is some lineup for that show. Sebastian Maniscalco will play the Wiltern. For international stand-up, Best of Brazil with a bunch of names. I don't know them. You probably don't know them. Women of Comedy, Made in Canada, Made in the UK, Spanglish, hosted by Paul Rodriguez, who we're going to talk about later, Musical Comedy Jam, All-Star Comedy, hosted by Finesse Mitchell, Maz Gibrani and Friends, and Chocolate Sundays, plus Neil Brennan at the Largo, Jacqueline Novak at the Largo, Cobra Kai, Live and Badass, join the cast of Cobra Kai for a badass one-night-only celebration. Costumes are encouraged, that's fun. The Penteveret premiere, that's the new Mike Myers Netflix thing. They're hosting a free world premiere screening of episode one of the new series. The Penteverets logline is, what if a secret society of five men has been working to influence world events for the greater good since the Black Plague of 1347? As the new series begins, one unlikely Canadian journalist, I wonder who will play a Canadian, finds himself embroiled in a mission to uncover the truth and just possibly save the world himself. Laugh with your mouth full, an evening with Phil Rosenthal. He's one of the creators of Everybody Loves Raymond. More Trivia Happy Hour, featuring the class of Blockbuster. I've been known to enjoy trivia. Join Randall Park, Melissa Fumero, JB Smoove, and Tyler Alvarez to test your movie knowledge in this pub trivia game. Forget it. When we go to trivia night on Wednesdays, movies are our weakness. We don't know anything about movies, so I'm not going to this. Anyway, join those comedians as the cast of Blockbuster compete against each other for the bragging rights of who is the Netflix Is a Joke movie aficionado. The series Blockbuster takes place at the last Blockbuster video in America and explores what it takes, and more specifically, who it takes, for a small business to succeed against all odds. Dana Carvey and David Spade will tape their podcast there. So will Pete Holmes. So will Nicole Byer and Sasheer Zamata. Plus, there's something called The Drop-In, surprise sets from some of the biggest names in comedy, hosted by Janelle James, Mark Norman, Joel Kim Booster, Bob the Drag Queen, and more. Bert Kreischer announced the Fully Loaded Comedy Festival, a completely different comedy festival. Bert tweeted, this summer, for 2 weeks in June, I'll be bringing 8 cities a comedy festival like you've never seen before. I'll be taking my friends, top comics in the country, to amphitheaters, blah, blah, blah. Who are these top comics? Well, it's no joke. Dave Attell, and that's who I saw this from. I saw it on Dave Attell Twitter. Mark Norman, Big J. Okerson, Taylor Tomlinson, Nikki Glaser, Fortune Feimster, and others. That's pretty good. All right, so that was the happy part. We got to get to the angst. Let's get the commercials out of the way, and then we'll come back and we'll get all like, ugh. From Page Six, Chris Rock showed up at the Comedy Cellar Tuesday night. He kicked it off by telling the audience he's not going to talk about the slap. Page Six says they had a spy at the show. Really? A spy? A spy? It's not just somebody who happened to be at the Comedy Cellar or somebody who perhaps, maybe, works at the Comedy Cellar and makes sure the newspaper knows Chris Rock did a set there. It's a spy. Whatever. Chris literally only addressed it as the crowd was going wild for a surprise appearance, and he got on stage and said, lower your expectations. I'm not going to address that S. The spy says that Chris Rock joked that he's workshopping material because all of a sudden people cared about the shows. Some other people who were there says the spy, who's totally not an employee, who called the New York Post to let them know what was going on. Other people on that show, Sam Morrill, Judy Gold, and Yamanika Saunders. That's a good night at the Cellar. From TMZ, there's growing anger towards the LAPD for not arresting Will Smith on the spot after you know what happened. LA sources with firsthand knowledge tell TMZ only one officer was inside the auditorium and he was backstage and didn't see the slap. Since it was misdemeanor battery, the only way a cop could arrest Will Smith on his or her own is if it were committed in their presence, which it was not. TMZ is told the officer backstage heard what happened, then beelined it for Chris Rock's dressing room, where he waited outside for a while, and then asked Chris Rock if he wanted to press charges. Chris was clear he did not. TMZ says our LAPD sources dispute what Oscar producer Will Packer claimed, that Chris was asked if he wanted Will removed. TMZ adds, so there was one other way Will Smith could have been arrested. Listen to this. This is hilarious. Someone in the crowd, and there were several thousand, could have gone up to a cop and asked to make a citizen's arrest. Under California law, a private person may arrest another for a public offense committed or attempted in his presence. No one in the crowd was asked to do that. So, like, Dame Judi Dench could have been like, excuse me, officer, can you please arrest Will Smith? Which would have been massively entertaining. From The Sun, Paul Rodriguez has nothing good to say about Will Smith. Rodriguez claims Smith made a, quote, living hell for him on the set of the 2001 biopic Ali. Did you know Paul Rodriguez is in Ali? I didn't, and I've seen the movie. The snazzy British-style headline, Chris Rock only took one slap at the Oscars, but I took a verbal slap from Will Smith every day. Bunch of quotes from Rodriguez. And sometimes I think the emotional injuries are just as deep, if not deeper, than physical ones. That movie was meant to be a huge stepping stone in my career, but for me, it ended up being a nightmare because of all the sickening abuse I got from Smith. He was evil to me, but nice to everyone else. It was sort of like Jekyll and Hyde. Rodriguez was cast as Ferdy Pacheco, Ali's personal physician. Paul Rodriguez said, back then, Will Smith wasn't the superstar he is now. We hung quite a lot and everything had always been really friendly between us. From time to time, I'd run into him in the studio. We were working on different projects and everything was terrific. So I went to audition for Ali. After the fifth or sixth time I read for the director, I ran into Will Smith again. We stopped and chatted for a little while and I asked him to put in a good word for me. He told me, I think he likes you. I think the part is yours already. So when did things change, you're wondering? Well, Rodriguez told The Sun, I was off one day, I didn't see the commotion, but the real Ferdy Pacheco was on the set, and apparently he was inebriated and went into Will Smith's dressing room, was complaining that his character should have a bigger part and should be played by Danny Garcia instead of me. Things escalated, and apparently Pacheco started calling Will the N-word, police were called, and Pacheco was escorted off the set. It was bad. Will never looked at me the same from that point onward. Rodriguez returned to the set the next day, didn't know even what happened. He asked everyone how they were doing, including Will Smith, who Rodriguez says flat out ignored him. Then suddenly, the star allegedly looked at Rodriguez, jerked his arms away, and barked at him, you don't know what the F you're doing. And I'm like, Will, I'm just lacing up gloves. The camera isn't even on me right now. I think my lines are something like, stick and move, champ, stick and move. And then he looked down at me and said, you don't know what you're doing. And everything just went drastically downhill from there. I didn't even get the most basic cordiality, you know? Not even, good morning, how are you, how's it going? When we all sat on the makeup chair. I mean, I was there for 6 hours every day, but there was never any bantering. We used to talk, but now as if somebody smelled bad and I was tainted. And it tainted the other actors. All of a sudden, nobody wanted to hang out with me. Michael Mann, the director, even started hollering at me in front of all the other actors in group scenes for things I wasn't even doing. And then here's this last one. I remember I was getting some food from the buffet in that beautiful house when he came up to me and said, you need to be very careful. You're a long way from anyone who likes you because you're in Africa. There are no Mexicans here. What? That's all in The Sun if you want to read that. Fascinating. All right. Pete Davidson. Clearly the most powerful man in comedy. If you saw Saturday Night Live, there was a musical sketch that I thought was terrible about short-ass movies. It was a song wishing movies would be no more than an hour and 40 minutes. Well, Netflix got the note, and they have started a category on their streaming service called short-ass movies. Among the movies, the fourth and fifth entries in the Scary Movie series, Zoolander and Stand By Me. Meanwhile, Pete's girlfriend Kim Kardashian, have you heard of her? She was on TV last night with Robin Roberts, who asked Kim Kardashian, how serious is it? Kim said, I'm a relationship kind of girl for sure, and I wouldn't be with someone if I didn't plan on spending a lot of my time with them. Obviously, I want to take my time, but I'm very happy, very content, and it's such a good feeling to be at peace. Roberts asked momager Kris Jenner about her thoughts on Pete Davidson dating her daughter. Jenner says, Pete's great, he's a really nice guy. More angst. This from Complex. I've been telling you that musician T.I. has been doing some stand-up comedy. Well, apparently T.I. got into a heated exchange on Monday night during an open mic at Our Bar ATL. Complex says video shows T.I. standing next to the stage confronting host Lauren Knights after she seemingly mentioned the sexual assault allegations against T.I. and his wife. The clip begins with T.I. denying the accusations and reminding the audience that the assault case was ultimately dismissed in L.A. court. T.I. says, and I'll clean this up here, a lot of cleaning up coming up, okay? So I am paraphrasing what T.I. is said to have said. Paraphrasing. There was no effing crime. There's nothing to charge me for or my wife. Knight tries to interject. T.I. continues, shut the F up for a second. Hey, listen, no. As many times you joke on that S, I'm going to check your MF butt. As long as it takes. When you stop talking about it, when you stop playing with me and mine, I'm going to stop saying something. Ain't no MF case, ain't never been no MF case, because I did nothing wrong, my wife ain't did nothing wrong, and if you keep playing with me, I'm going to MF continue to confront you publicly, verbally. Complex says it's unclear exactly what Knight said to ignite such a response. Later in the evening, she said, T.I. is innocent, I truly believe it. Give it up for him, there are no charges. Immediately after Knight attempted to squash the issue, T.I. began shouting once again and told Knight to stop playing with him. Knight assured T.I. that that wasn't the case and reminded him she was just doing her job as a comedian. She said, this is not a rap battle. This is an MFing comedy show. Be clear. If I want to make jokes about something, I'll make jokes about something. Absolutely. You're not going to tell me to shut the F up in my S word. This is my S. Let me be very clear. T.I. then grabbed the mic and said, no, it's not, and then his sound was cut. Several minutes later, Knight and T.I. exchanged some kind words on stage and seemingly buried the hatchet. A story I've been bouncing for about a week because it's been so crowded, but from Newsweek, Freddie Gibbs said he stopped Joe Rogan from getting beaten over a racist remark. The rapper appeared alongside Joe Rogan on the Kill Tony comedy podcast. This happened back in March and discovered the controversy about Joe Rogan's use of racial slurs on the Joe Rogan Experience. Rogan had said, it's been years, let it go. Gibbs told Rogan, this wasn't years ago, that was days. Adding that he had prevented Rogan from getting beaten up from one of the anecdotes that I don't feel like repeating right now. Gibbs said, you're lucky I got family in Philadelphia because they were coming there to F you up. I held them back on behalf of Joe. Y'all give me a round of applause. Rogan has deleted the podcast episode that has the Philadelphia anecdote that I do not want to repeat and said it was an idiotic thing to say. I was just trying to be entertaining. I certainly wasn't trying to be racist, and I certainly would never want to offend someone for entertainment with something as stupid as racism. Another busy one. At least we got to do some fun in the first half, right? So much angst. If you enjoy what I do, you're probably not Jen Kirkman. But for the rest of you, follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, wherever you get the shows. If you would like the show early and commercial-free, become a premium subscriber on Apple Podcasts. $5 a month, you get the shows commercial-free and early. For example, it's about 1 o'clock on Wednesday, and as soon as I clean up the edit, I will publish this as an early release. All right, see you tomorrow.